dancing on the highway, throwing shadows in the dark. And the memories keep on turning to the rhythm of a broken heart.
That's Chris Stapleton, right? Kind of like that guy. Seems like that's like real country music, kind of.
We had a request for Chris Stapleton to be a rejoin, and really to have him.
That it's kind of sound like country music a little bit.
It is.
Well, a lot of I hear on is not country music anymore. It's all
pop country.
Yes, pretty boy country.
Back in my day.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Canty can fix it. Your foundation issues that you may have arising at your home that might be the silent, what is it? The blood pressure is a silent killer. Might be the silent killer to your house. You got foundation issues. Your drywalls have cracks in them. Your doors don't shut quite as good, or a door doesn't shut quite as good, or a window gets jammed or whatever. That might not be what you think it is. That might be your foundation issues. You might have a bad door. You might have a bad window. You could have foundation issues. Why not? Just find out why. Find out if it is the case. It's a no-obligation phone call, no-obligation deal. It's Canty Foundation Specialist. Very easy to find. CantyCanFixIt.com. They can also take care of your crawl space and the moisture that comes into the crawl space. Dry that out for you, what you need to do as well. Let them take care of it. Canty Foundation Specialist. CantyCanFixIt.com. A lot to do here in this hour. Sam Blackman's going to join us. He has a new book out. He's got a speaking engagement tonight. And we're going to share some Bob Bradley stories. I love that. We talked about mainly the CTE in that last hour. Continue a little bit of thoughts on that. Zach, I've talked over you today because I'm pretty passionate about it and had a little bit of experience with it. By the way, not just for what I saw with what Ryan's going through, but like walking up and down the halls of the neuro halls. And seeing what everybody else is going through too, you know, and seeing the different stuff. And then talking to people about it, and then people emailing you and texting you about it and that kind of stuff. So by no means I know what I'm talking about, but, you know, just spending a couple of years of doing it and seeing it, it's a different deal, man. You can look at your aorta. You can look at your liver duct.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cut and dry. That brain stuff, man, it's not cut and dry. That's my point.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of struggling with it this morning in the sense that I'm a huge fan of the game, right?
Huge.
And to see this kind of evidence presented to you, you do want to do the move of, as you say, stick your head in the sand and ignore it, because you've grown up watching this game, whether it be with, you know, your family, your friends, whatever it is. It's such a huge part of your life. It's literally our job, Plyler. Like, this is how we make our living.
Mm-hmm.
To see that threatened is kind of, you know, unnerving. On the other side of it, you know, we bring up the fact that one day you could possibly have, you know, little ones running around and say, hey, can we play football? And would you be willing and, you know, okay with putting your own flesh and blood in that kind of, you know, harmful situation, that harmful possibility? And I just don't know whether I could be and whether it would be. It's just a grapple inside my head right now to try to figure this out.
You know, in the old Rome Colosseum, the Romans would feed the lions, and people mm-hmm. would get into it and watch it, like, hey, and I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be to where we are barbaric in what we're doing to other human beings for our own entertainment.
Well, I mean, that's essentially kind of what it is, isn't it?
Nah, see, that's what I don't think it is.
I mean, these guys are sacrificing their bodies for the entertainment of others.
They are their bodies.
Is
that's a little bit different. That's a little more urgency.
TV is today's version of the Coliseum.
Maybe. But people aren't dying on the spot at that rate. Like, you knew those people weren't going to make it out of there, kind of a thing.
Sure.
Now, here's what I will say. If someone said that we could do away with all brain injuries by the football, the sport going away, I'll gladly go find something else to do. I'll gladly go find another job.
See, but I believe that, but I'm telling you, other people would not be okay with it.
Right. I'm not selfish enough. There's enough things going on in this world, I can find something else to do.
Mm-hmm.
If someone told me, I use a car example, I like, a lot of people like driving cars and muscle cars and they like their cars and all, but if someone said driverless cars and the computer, it's not a civil liberty that you're able to drive cars. If someone said safely, this will make everybody say there won't be any more car accidents. If everybody will, you know, cut down, I'm glad to give up my right to drive a car, my liberty to drive a car, and you just drive it for me. I'm good. The computer does it and I'm good with that. I've said this many times. This gets me in trouble with my hunting friends. If someone said, you know what, man, all guns are going away, not just the criminals' guns, but everybody, even the criminals, everybody's got to go away. Man, I'd gladly give up mine. That's easy for me to do now in order to say no one's ever going to get killed by a gun again. Gladly do all that. But we all know that's not happening. Where we got to go now is in football, how do we make it safer? And I'm willing to listen to take the helmets off, put the softer helmet where they don't use their head as a weapon. Will that do it? I don't know the concussion rates of rugby, of Australian rules football. I don't know what they are, but I think that it is very much worth looking into. And to me, the game wouldn't change all that much if we had wrestling gear, padded kind of stuff around our heads rather than full hard helmets. But is that the answer? I don't know what it is.
I don't know if taking away the helmet is the answer there. I think there's a good initiative of teaching tackling at a more fundamental level at the younger levels. I think that helps. I think that there is new helmet technology that's being used now, and we had a texter earlier say we're going to need some time to see how that, you know, affects people's brains going down the road.
The one of the things we do when we do this all the time are rules about the helmet to helmet. Well, when a guy tries to go a little lower and then the running back kind of lowers it, or the wide receiver lowers his helmet too, there's just collisions that happen by circumstance. Like they're not trying to be helmet to helmet, but they do it. You know, your helmet, your head hitting the ground really hard oftentimes. And not helmet to helmet.
I think these things probably affect the decisions that are going to happen in the fall.
Right.
Because you know these refs are reading these things, and not necessarily they're like, oh, that guy got CTE from that hit, but they're going to be more conscious of those kind of collisions, and you're going to see those flags on a higher level like you did last year or in the year before, where every year since these things have been a major topic in football, those flags, those penalties have gone up.
Well, I agree with that. Now, I will say this, that like you watch Clemson, when you watch them practice, they do that rugby tackling drills.
Yep.
And when I first saw it, I was like, what are they doing? And then I saw Pete Carroll and the Seahawks doing it, and I saw the videos on it. I said, I like that. That's a great idea. I think that's a step. I think maybe, you know, the helmet technology or rules, all those are steps that I'm willing to take. I will, again, I do think there is a correlation. But for those who just joined us, let me be very clear about this. On the other side of it, don't be fooled by the saying that 110 out of 111 brains from NFL deceased players showed this CTE condition. Because that's 110 of 111 donated brains and people that were donated brains for a reason. And the other thing is, and this is just me being the skeptic that I am when it comes to studies, who funded the study? Why is it out there? What are we trying to prove? You know, you bring in, and an attorney brings in attorney brings in an expert. He's paid to give his expert, paid to help their cause, their case. And if you're going to use Ken Stabler or some of these guys, the guy was killing himself anyway with alcohol. What did the PEDs, you had a text saying, I want to know what the PEDs mean to it. The combination of PEDs, what did that do to your brain? I'm going to tell you right now, there is a fairly direct correlation, not direct. There's a correlation between steroids and suicide. You know, there is no controlled set here through all this.
And that's a narrow line to walk, though, right? Because there's a point where you're ignoring the data by making, you know, claims against it, where you get to, you know, well, what is the rugby concussion rate? And that's how you justify it in your mind, how it's not that different or whatever it might be. So you need to kind of toe the line, but, you know, not go too far one way or the other. Find the facts first, and then we'll make an educated decision.
I'm not trying to stick my head in the sand and pretend, for the sake of saving football, nothing's happening here. It is happening. There's no doubt my mind is happening. But at the same time, I'm not saying that 100% of it is that either. There's just so many things that are going on. there is no doubt that it is a major issue.
And football's suffering with it, but, I mean, concussions happen in all sports.
Right. Hey, concussions happen in life.
So, yeah, it happened in life. You know, I've had a concussion or two in wrestling when I was younger. I mean, they happen. My brother had one in hockey. Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's just whether or not you're taking the steps to proactively prevent them.
Right. Let me get Hoss in here next. 654 Roar. Hey, good morning, Hoss. I appreciate you hanging on so long. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. I was going to ask you two your ideas about something, but I almost feel guilty about bringing it up.
No. No, we're not. It's not Carolina Clemson Monday or something. You can always Super Bowl Monday or something. You can always change the subject.
Well, what I was going to ask, I thought it would be a good idea for college football to have a couple of preseason games, just like, pro football has, I think, four. I think that's too many. But why not have a couple of preseason games before the season and say, you know, anybody can play in it without having to affect their eligibility or anything. You can still redshirt people afterwards. You know, you could play the Wofford's or Citadel's during the preseason game and free up the regular season for a better matchup or something. What do you guys think about that? Do you think that would ever come about?
I think that we're going to see some semblance of this because it might be in the spring and it might be 2 weeks in. You know, high schools have figured something out, Hoss. High schools have figured out that T.L. Hanna and West Side can play each other twice in a football season. You live in Anderson, right?
Right.
You ever thought about why they play each other twice? They play each other twice because they make more money when they play, when Hanna and West Side play each other, one region game, one non-region game. The first game of the year they play each other. And the reason they do it is because, now the regions have changed maybe now, but the reason they do it is because they make more money. And high schools figure something else out too. High schools figured out you can play jamborees. High school football, they'll practice less than a week, and then they'll have a jamboree. And the reason they do that is people show up and they pay money to see it. And so I think when these colleges figure out that, you know what, man, about halfway through August, we can have a preseason game and we can make money on it, then, yeah, let's kind of do this. Let's see where we are. It's got a lot of benefits. So I think it's going to happen. Now, like I said, if it's in the spring or if it's in the middle of August, I think we're going to see it at some point in time.
Yeah, I always had mixed feelings when they would talk about, you know, we need to quit playing the Woffords and these teams because, you know, I'm a Wofford grad and I think that money you get, the payday you get from playing a Clemson or a South Carolina is a big part of their budget. And this way, you know, you can still play them and see a lot of young players that maybe otherwise you wouldn't get to see opening, you know, the opening week of the season because the game counts.
Right.
You know, you could see Kelly Bryant before it really counts and, you know, see your new players and even see players that you're thinking about redshirting because it wouldn't count against their eligibility.
It's a great point, man. I'd love to see it, Hoss. I appreciate you bringing it up. Very good point. I'd love to see it. Snap Hook joins us. Final phone call this segment. Sam Blackman's going to join us here in a minute. Good morning, Snap Hook. How you doing?
Doing well, fellas. How are y'all?
Couldn't be better.
Wanted to talk about the concussion issue, Mickey. What's different about football than it was 20 years ago?
Well, the game is faster. The athletes are bigger and stronger. The game is played in more space. There's a much more of a passing game now. Those are some of the changes.
What about the technology that we have to analyze such issues?
Absolutely. We've got ways to monitor the body's reactions to it and the collisions. We've got all that.
So do you think the game has changed that much or the analytical tools have changed even more?
Well, let me say this. In the old days of watching 3 yards in a cloud of dust, the guys would line up. The offensive and defense line would hit each other. The defensive backs and wide receivers kind of pillow fight out there on the edge a little bit. and the running back would run into to a pile, and the pile would move forward a little bit, whatever. Nowadays, you throw the ball out on a little slant across the middle or a little skinny post or whatever. You're seeing much more of it. And when a safety's back in the old days, Jake Scott was now and again, Jack Tatum was a headhunter, but Jake Scott was a 180-pound guy. Now you got safeties that are 6'4 and 225 colliding with wide receivers who are 6'5 and 230. And where they used to run 4.5, now they're running 4.3, and they're these big, powerful. They used to bench 250, now they bench 340, and now there's these power battering rams that are having these big collisions. So it has changed a little bit. Now, I don't know what percentage and what that means to it, but when you play a game in space and you've got wide open guys going wide open speeds, wide open against each other, sometimes those things will happen. I think a little more frequently. I could be wrong.
I agree with that. I mean, some of the most physical players in the game are the ones that play out in the flats, play out wide receivers, corners, things like that. I just think that we have more technology and more analytical tools to analyze it. And I guess technology gives more of a heightened awareness of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but we needed to be aware by it. I mean, you go back and watch a movie in the 50s, and John Wayne and Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis are smoking cigarettes like crazy. I think now we know that you don't need to smoke cigarettes. We need to be more aware of it. So I'm not blaming the knowledge. I want more of the knowledge. I want to know. We had mill workers working in cotton mills that had bad respiratory issues because what we didn't know. Well, now we know, and it's good that we know. So I'm not blaming that part of it. But you're right, man. We see more. We're more aware of it now, no doubt.
Okay. Take it easy, buddy.
Thank you, man. Appreciate the phone call. Tell you about Trehel, TREHEL.com. How about their big 35th anniversary? I think that's tomorrow's big party. Man, that's a great deal of knowing they're doing it and doing business right. Here's the bottom line at Trehel. If you want a completely different experience, don't go through. I told you my mom and dad built a house, Zach, when I was about 10, 11 years old. And the architect screwed it up and the builder screwed it up and everything's always screwed up. And, man, it was awful. And we're never doing this again. There's delays everywhere and it costs so much more. I'm like, wow, this is crazy. And then I watch people do a trail. I'm like, hey, yeah, let's use those guys again. People, you build stuff in the past, like lose that guy's number, call the attorney, we're suing about this, it should have taken this long, I can't believe they're doing this. In the end, go with a company that you're going to love being around, love doing business with. Start the relationship with a company that you're going to have a long time relationship. I love the idea when they say this, we build buildings and relationships both last a lifetime. I love that deal. How the better building process. It just works. To find out more about Trehel, 800-319-7006, TREHEL.com. A new book, a big speaking engagement, and some great stories about Bob Bradley with Sam Blackman coming up next.
Hey, this is Joseph from Local Q, inviting you to come try our famous house smoked wings. Tossed in our signature barbecue rub, these wings are sure to leave an impression. Pick between any of our 10 sauces, including a blueberry chipotle barbecue, coconut curry, and inferno for the daring. We also offer great lunch specials Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., and a unique brunch menu Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit us at 30 Orchard Park Drive, Suite 7, or online at www.localq.com. Remember, Local Q is 21 and up at all times with a valid ID.
Elkmont Trading Company in Clemson is your locally owned outfitter, women's boutique, shoe store, gourmet foods and home goods store. From candles and dresses to tents and fly fishing gear, Elkmont has it. Elkmont offers clothing and gear for an outdoor lifestyle, so come in and get ready for summer with a stand-up paddleboard or kayak from Jackson, Perception, or Wilderness Systems. Elkmont has the area's best selection and rentals for you to try before you buy. But folks, you already know all this about Elkmont, but what you might not know is that they have recently opened a craft beer bar and restaurant featuring 16 taps of the area's best locally crafted beer and great food as well. Craft beer, excellent food, all that's missing is you. Elkmont is located at the Highway 93 exit off Highway 123 across from Bojangles. And remember folks, if you haven't been to Elkmont, you haven't been to Clemson.
Hi, this is Coach Dabo Sweeney. You know, when it comes to buying or servicing a vehicle, I always choose Toyota of Easley for their great selection, affordable prices, and outstanding customer service. Toyota of Easley is a family-owned business, and in all the years I've been a customer, I've always been treated like family. I encourage you to visit Toyota of Easley if you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle or in need of service. Toyota of Easley is all in, and their name means a great deal.
In life, finding quality in anything can sometimes be difficult. Custom Collision would like for you to know that there are still a few places out there where quality matters. You can rest assured that at Custom Collision, not only will you be impressed with the quality of the finished product, but you will experience the quality of service that is unmatched. From taking care of your rental to handling the insurance, Custom Collision is there for you. Custom Collision, when quality counts. 231-6900 or online at CustomCollisionInc.com.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Greenville and Spartanburg? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Greenville and Spartanburg area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Greenville and Spartanburg are perfect markets for my system. And this week, I'm holding a free 2-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-989-4100. Seating is extremely limited. Call right now because this free ticket offer expires this Friday. That's 1-800-989-4100. That's 1-800-989-4100.
4 days only, the Home Depot is pouring even more savings into paint with $10 off 1 gallon cans and $40 off 5 gallon buckets of our entire selection. Savings like that can cover any paint project or paint budget with room to spare. So, roll in for savings. Roll up your sleeves, then roll on a fresh new look for your home. Unbelievable quality, unbeatable prices on paint. Now through Monday, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Select markets only.
Broadcasting live from where the Blue Ridge yawns its greatness. We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Reed's Jewelers getting ready for the fall. I'm considering a watch. I've never owned a watch. I can't say that. I have owned a watch, but I've never really worn a watch. I'm considering a watch. And if I do get a watch, it's going to be at Reed's Jewelers, REEDS.com. So get ready for the fall. Get ready for football season. Do it with Reed's Jewelers. 7 days a week, upper level of the Haywood Mall, right in the middle of it all. Wally Odom has assembled this team that is ready to knock your socks off with the great selection, with the great knowledge. You know, it's really intriguing to me. I go to a restaurant and like the waiter comes out and tells me where the beef came from and how it was free range and grass fed and tells me all the stuff about where it came. That's impressive to me. The knowledge base. You got to Reed's Jewelers, same thing. The knowledge base of how many diving feet and meters and all that. I mean, that's really cool to see how many, you know, what all their technology is. That's really cool. Be prepared to be wild at Reed's Jewelers. REEDS.com, upper level of the Haywood Mall, right in the middle of it all. Go by and see these good folks. Let's get Sam Blackman in here, who's got two major things going on. Good morning, Sammy Blackman. How you doing?
Doing fine, Mickey. How are you doing?
Couldn't be better. All right. First and foremost, I got a copy of your new book, and I told Zach, it's thicker than any steak I've ever eaten.
Yeah, me too. I tell you, I like steak, but I don't think I've had one that thick.
Well, congratulations on it, Sammy. When's it coming out, and how can people get it? Because I know Tiger fans will want – you just look at the cover of it and see it. I mean, Tiger fans got to have this one.
Well, I got some books yesterday, and I'll have them with me. I got several copies in the mail yesterday, and I will have those available tonight at our book signing, and I will and also the book will officially be out about the middle of August. It will be at our local outlets. I'm sure. You know, Alan's Creation, and of course, Tiger Sports Shops, our friends there will carry it, and Knickerbockers, and so I think they'll be at the usual outlets downtown, and of course, online, you know, they'll be available, you know, Amazon and the places like that. So it's a very proud of this book, Mickey. It's a comprehensive history of Clemson athletics. We talk about all our sports we ever had, including boxing, field hockey, fencing, and of course swimming, and just all our sports. And then we tell stories in each section, and then do a chronological history in those sports. So we're very, very proud of this book, and just happy that it's out. It's 408 pages, and we're just very, very happy with it. And it's got, I think, a beautiful cover. They did a good job with it. So, but it is out. You can get some copies tonight. So we're very proud of it, and we worked very hard on it. It's an effort of several years, Mickey. I started going to the library many nights years ago, and still go there quite a bit. I tell you, I love libraries. I love looking up things, and I don't know what our society would do without libraries, the helpful people at libraries.
Yeah, it's obvious that you did the research on it and see as Clemson Where the Tigers Play. You'll see it and go tonight, Sammy, big speaking engagement over at the library on Pelham Road over in Greenville. I know you'd love to have a big crowd out tonight.
Yes, I would. I would love to meet people and just see people that, you know, listen to your show and listen to my little segment. And I love to meet people. I saw some yesterday. A gentleman came up to me. His name's Mr. Seawright, and he lives in Anderson. And he said he listens to our show, Mickey. And this everywhere I go, people say they listen to the Mickey Plowler show. So you got a big following, Mickey. And it was just a wonderful time. We had a little. We went to Anderson area Ipte Club last night and had a good time and had our books there last night and whatnot. So. There are a lot of good people over there in Anderson, very, very faithful Clemson members, and had a big showing last night. Don Munson was a featured speaker. So it's getting football season.
Yeah.
Whenever you start hearing people talk about it, and they're anxious, and they're very, very, we've got some great fans, Mickey, and I'm just so excited about it as well. You know, the high schools have already, I guess, started their, I'm sure their way into that 7-on-7. And like you said, Mickey, they'll start having those jamborees
soon. That's crazy. We'll have jamborees and doing all
this
stuff.
It is.
Hey,
I just, and yesterday, you know, it was 5 months till Christmas.
That's crazy. I wanted to get into Bob Bradley. We talked about him last week a little bit. I want to get into more of the personal stories. Tell me about the scorebook that he designed and just how meticulous he was in that little lead pencil that he had and his writing in it. It was, for a guy that had the messiest office in the world, I've never seen a cleaner, surgeon-like scorebook this guy had.
Exactly, Mickey. Back in the day, you just didn't have computers to score a baseball game. You know, now they'll enter in like single or hit or something, and the computer records it and all this stuff and prints out a play-by-play and then a final box score after the game. But he used to, Mickey, just be so particular about that scorebook. I remember him saying, do not keep a messy scorebook. I want to be able to go back and see what happened. And, you know, whenever you and I used to have to do it in his absence or something. And I was very careful. I thought I was handing in an exam to a professor, you know, that didn't like messy tests, you know. So I was very careful. Oh, I was careful with that school book. And then I put it, he gave us a briefcase to put it in. And we would carry that little briefcase around us. It was a hard briefcase, and I thought to myself, you know, I need a handcuff to put on this so I won't lose it. You know, I was very careful with that baseball scorebook, and he would put sharpened pencils. He did not like a dull pencil, you know, writing in a scorebook because it would take up too much room. Mm-hmm. So we was very particular with that, Mickey, and he always said use a pencil. Do not use a pen, mm-hmm. and that's one thing I've learned about, and to this day I still, when I write in a scorebook, I use pencil, and yeah. I guess it's because I'm thinking maybe he, you know, he taught us that, and that's the way it should be, and, you know, because you can go back and correct it if someone's, if we decide it was an error rather than a hit, and so on and so forth. But like you said, Mickey, he had a lot of material in his office, and I mean a lot of material. But he knew exactly where things were, and I remember someone came in there and said, Mr. Bradley, I sent you a letter about 3 years ago. I'm interested in working in your office as a student. And, you know, he would say, yes, I know where your letter is. And he picked up a pile, went right to it, and he hired him, and he worked in our office as a student. But that he knew exactly where everything was. And if you wanted you know, something. I remember one time looking on his desk, and he had a 74 UCLA NC State basketball box score on his desk. It was just so random what would be on his desk, but he knew where everything was. And, of course, his desk was highlighted by that orange and purple telephone, you know, and I think Coach Howard had one of those. They had a special order that. It was an orange base with a purple receiver, and he used it so much, you know, the paint started wearing off on the headset, and it turned white, you know. But he used to get so many calls, and like I said, Mickey, his office was just had a lot of material in it, but mm-hmm. he knew exactly where it was. And I never will forget, as long as I live, Skeeter Francis, who was a longtime publicist there for the ACC office. He used to work at Wake Forest, and then he went to the ACC office. He used to deliver the ACC tournament tickets. And when he came by, everybody had gone, and this was on a Friday afternoon, and he told me, he said, Sam, we got to do something with these ACC tournament tickets. We just can't leave them laying out. He said, the vault, the ticket people are gone. I think y'all got a safe back there. And I said, yes, sir. I said, I know what we'll do. We'll put them in Mr. Bradley's office. I said, no one will ever find them in there. So I moved 3 or 4 boxes, and we put them in there and then covered them up. And then Mr. Francis looked at me and said, that's safer than Fort Knox. And I said, yes, sir. So they stayed in there for the whole weekend. And it seemed like we were closed on Monday, too. And they stayed in there. They were safe. No one knew they were ever in there. And because those were worth a lot of money, you know, thousands of dollars. But the ticket man came over, Hildebrand came over, and he asked me, he said, what did you do with those tournament tickets? And I said, well, they're in Mr. Bradley's office, so we moved them. And he said about the same thing. He said, they're safe in here. No one will ever find them in here.
Mm-hmm. So, hey, Sam, tell me about the story about, you know, Skeeter Francis, who was a longtime ACC legend, and Bob Bradley, obviously yeah. the case. You told me a pretty touching story the other day about the last time those guys saw each other.
Yeah, Mr. Bradley, they were very close. And Mr. Bradley, Skeeter Francis used to have a bus that would go to every ACC school, and they would do about this, you know, in August, they would go to every ACC school and watch football practice and do reports and file stories and do radio interviews so they could use them, you know, throughout the upcoming preseason. And it used to be, they used to do that every year. And they would just, and it was a fun time too. It was, they used to fill up the bus with people, And then, of course, we would have it, and then local media would come. But it was a bus tour, and I never will forget that. It was probably the last bus tour, too, and this was the year 2000. And I remember when their bus was about to leave Clemson, Skeeter Francis told Mr. Bradley, he said, well, but, you know, Mr. Bradley was, you know, had cancer, and I think they pretty much knew this would be their last time to see each other. And I remember Skeeter Francis said, I'll see you, old buddy. And Mr. Bradley looked at him and just said, well, he said, well, it's good seeing you too, Skeeter. He said, we'll be seeing you. And I think they knew each that that would be their last time to see each other. Because, you know, he was at the ACC office, and Mr. Bradley was, like I said, he passed away that fall. And it's a very sad to see two legends, you know, telling each other goodbye and them knowing the circumstances, but they didn't say it. And it was just a very touching moment. And Mr. Bradley, like I said, just he loved people. He won a lot of friends for Clemson. And like I said, he was very close to a lot of people. And like I said, that was just very sad to see two, you know, legends like that tell each other goodbye for the last time.
Hey, Sam, I only got about a minute, but I wanted you to share the story of the old 93 Fish Camp and Lefty Giselle and these guys staying at Mr. Bradley's house and things like this.
Yeah, basketball officials and whenever a basketball team would come to town, they would go over, especially during press averages day, they used to go to Mr. Bradley's house to eat dinner the night before a game and night after a game. Sometimes the visiting coach would stay with Mr. Bradley or the visiting SID or whatever. And after a game, the basketball officials would come, and they would have dessert at Mr. and Mrs. Bradley's house. You know, Miss Bradley was the best cook in the world. And they used to stay at Mr. and Mrs. They used to go to Mr. and Mrs. Bradley's house. They would have, like, Lefty Giselle, I think Dean Smith, and all these folks would go out there, and then the basketball officials would come out there, too. I mean, it was good entertainment, and that's what I'm saying. He won a lot of friends for Clemson, and it wasn't so, you know, and it was just a good time for people, and it's of course changed now. But the basketball referees, the coaches of both teams would go out there and have dessert and things like this, or coffee, and they would just have a good time. And sometimes they start playing music and you know, have sing-alongs. They just had a good time, but you couldn't ever do that now.
Yeah, it's a completely different world. All right, I got 30 seconds. I'm going to leave you this. Explain to us Clemson Ring and what it looked like.
It was just about worn out, Mickey. You could not see design anymore. He wore it so many times, and he was very proud of that Clemson ring. You could just barely see that it had a stone in it. It was just worn out, and it was he really cherished that Clemson ring, and very proud of it. And Mickey, let me tell you this story too. You know, Coach Wilhelm was, of course, long-time baseball coach. Now, I think Mr. Bradley, that was his favorite sport, baseball. And I remember whenever a controversial call would come, you know, like you had to decide where a ball, where it was a hit or an error. Well, Mr. Bradley was official scorer, of course, and I remember he would call something a hit or error, and then after the game, we'd go to the office. Bradley would type the story, and I would call the TV stations with the score. And I remember Coach Wilhelm would come up and say, he'd say, Bob, if that wasn't a hit, there's never been a hit in baseball. And they would argue about a hit and error. And they would, you know, it would get kind of loud. I was trying to use the telephone and everything. But it would get kind of loud. And all of a sudden, everything would calm down. And then Coach Wilhelm said, "See more, Bob." And he said, "Okay, Coach," and everything would be all right. And they would come to an agreement of some sort. And But he loved baseball, and Coach Wilhelm really loved Bob Bradley.
All right, give me this one, Sam. And I know I got to go, but I got to get this one here right quick. Give me when you would call a game, when you score a game, and you'd call something a hit or an error, and Wilhelm would disagree with it. Give me the voice. Give me 15 seconds of what Wilhelm would say to you after the game.
He would say, "Sammy, baseball's a beautiful game. Learn how to score it." He said, "That was not a hit." And he would just look at you, and you'd feel like you're 2 inches tall, you know, just like the old Fred Flintstone cartoon. You just shrink and get smaller and smaller, you know. But that's the way I felt. And he would wait on me at the, you know, it would be a long walk toward the end of the grandstand, you know, when you walk down the grandstands, and Coach Wilhelm be waiting on you. So that was a, you know, because I really respected Coach Wilhelm. Oh, yeah. and you know, he was a good man.
Said it many times. Loved him, but scared to death of him times too. Man.
That's just, exactly right. He's the coach. He's the boss, you know.
Yeah, good stuff. Hey, Sammy. All right, tonight, is it 7 o'clock tonight? Pelham Road,
yeah,
Library?
Tonight, it's over there at the Pelham Road Library branch, and we're just looking forward to that tonight. There's a lot of good people over there, and just we're going to talk about Mickey tonight, the early part of Clemson athletics. We're going to talk about Mr. Riggs, and then all the way up to probably to World War II as time allows, and going to talk about some of the major players during that time. It's on fits at 1508 Pelham Road, the Pelham Road Library in Greenville, located at 1508 Pelham Road. Starts at 7 o'clock. So we're very, and the program is free. And I'll have some of my books there, and I'll sell them, and I'll be glad to sign them.
That sounds great, Sammy. Great, but yeah, safe travels. Always enjoy it, bud. And maybe sneak another couple of Bob Bradley stories next week. Be safe tonight.
Yes. All right. Well, thanks a lot.
All right, buddy. Sam Blackman. We're up against a break. Take one more right after this.
The countdown is on. 38 days to Clemson Tiger football.
Watson in shotgun. Takes a shotgun snap. Gives it to Gallman. Gallman, no. Watson's going to keep it. Bounces outside the numbers. Crosses the 15, the 10, the 5. And Watson is going to get tripped up at about the Florida State 4-yard line.
Every thrilling minute on the flagship station for Clemson football. WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Bring your own tools, pull the parts you need, and save big. At LKQ Pick Your Part, you'll find millions of parts from hundreds of cars and trucks to choose from. All in a clean, organized lot. Right now, sign up for our PYP Garage and start earning points towards discounts on future purchases at an LKQ Pick Your Part near you. Get alerts when your vehicle comes to an LKQ Pick Your Part. It's easy and free to sign up. Visit LKQPickYourPart.com for more, or visit us today and save big. LKQ Pick Your Part. What's in your garage?
Hi, this is Coach Dabo Sweeney. You know, when it comes to buying or servicing a vehicle, I always choose Toyota of Easley for their great selection, affordable prices, and outstanding customer service. Toyota of Easley is a family-owned business, and in all the years I've been a customer, I've always been treated like family. I encourage you to visit Toyota of Easley if you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle or in need of service. Toyota of Easley is all in, and their name means a great deal.
It's bow time at Bojangles. For a limited time, enjoy 2 made-from-scratch sausage, egg, and cheese biscuits for just $4. Bojangles, it's bow time.
Elkmont Trading Company in Clemson is your locally owned outfitter, women's boutique, shoe store, gourmet foods, and home goods store. From candles and dresses to tents and fly fishing gear, Elkmont has it. Elkmont offers clothing and gear for an outdoor lifestyle, so come in and get ready for summer with a stand-up paddleboard or kayak from Jackson, Perception, or Wilderness Systems. Elkmont has the area's best selection and rentals for you to try before you buy. But folks, you already know all this about Elkmont, but what you might not know is that they have recently opened a craft beer bar and restaurant featuring 16 taps of the area's best locally crafted beer and great food as well. Craft beer, excellent food, all that's missing is you. Elkmont is located at the Highway 93 exit off Highway 123 across from Bojangles. And remember, folks, if you haven't been to Elkmont, you haven't been to Clemson.
Hey, it's Jim. I can't take your call right now. I'm digging for oil in my basement to help pay for my family's mobile bill.
A little crazy, you say? You try getting a data plan that has enough gigs for my family. And I thought braces were expensive. We definitely need a switch.
Stuck in a dysfunctional family plan? Switch to Boost Best Family Plan right now and get four lines for just $25 per line, each with unlimited gigs. With Metro PCS, you only get 2 gigs per line for the same price. Plus, switch today and get up to 4 free phones, all on the fast and reliable Sprint Nationwide network. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save.
Offer ends 9/10/17. Requires one line to port in. Lines include unlimited data, talk, and text. Video streams optimized at up to 480p plus resolution. Music up to 500 kilobits per second and cloud gaming up to 2 megabits per second. Data deprioritization applies during congestion. Comparison based on Metro PCS's 2GB promo plan as of 4/25/17. For additional details, visit their website. Free phones while supplies last. Requires port in and activation on $100 plan. Coverage and offers not available everywhere. Restrictions apply.
This is George Jeffries again with Metal Building Supply in Piedmont. Do you have nuts? Well, we do, and bolts, panels, trims, and all the accessories you would need to do that shed project or roof on your home. Give us a call and talk to Kevin Brown. We can offer the names of contractors in the area and help you with the materials you need to solve those problems on your commercial building or your home. That's Metal Building Supply, 1500 Elrod Road, just off exit 39 and I-85 in Piedmont. Or call 295-0506 and ask for Kevin.
ZeroRes is the answer to cleaning at its finest with no harsh chemicals. No residue, safe from toxins, and your carpet, upholstery, tile, and grout will stay cleaner longer. Spell it forwards or backwards, it's the right way to clean. ZeroResGreenville.com.
The Mickey Weiler Show is on the air.
They say nothing, they go nowhere.
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Mickey and Zach.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Rooster's Men's Grooming Center. Get in touch with the good friends over at Rooster's. I tell you what to do. Here's a good deal. Go see Sam Blackman tonight, but before that, go get your hair cut over at Rooster's. Go get your hair did. Go over there and take care of your man hair. Man, let them straight razor shave that face. Get it off the back of the neck over there. Get the hair out of the ears. You don't know this yet, Zach. Your hair starts growing in the ears a little bit, you get older. Let them take care of everything for you. Make you look good. Smell good. Get that hot towel treatment, hot towel massage, that little neck massage in there, a little facial massage. Or if you're in a big, big, big hurry like all of you seem to be, go in and get the express deal. These are good folks. These are great friends at Roosters, roostersmgc.com. Take a little bit of time out for yourself. Let them take care of you. 654-ROAR, 654-7627 on our Northern Communication phone lines. Let's get to El Guapo in Greenville. Good morning, El Guapo. How you doing?
Doing great, Mickey. How you guys doing?
Great. Would you say we have a plethora of sweaters?
We have a plethora of sweaters. Love that movie.
That's one of the best, man. One of the best.
Cool, man. I just want to get in on the CTE discussion, yeah. And I'm familiar with clinical studies, and I wanted to point out a limitation of this study. So I saw the headline. I'm like, okay, what's this based on? New study came out, and I took a look at it. And one thing the audience needs to know is this study is based on a convenience sample. I'm not trying to bore everybody to death, but what is a convenience sample? It's something used in clinical studies that is non-probabilistic. So what that means is it does not predict the probability that the general population will get that. In this case, the general population is football players. So what they're doing is they are observing that these people have CTE, but they are making no conclusions and really can't make any, you know, assertions as to what are the chances a football player can get CTE. So it's in the realm of the medical world and clinical studies, if Pfizer or you know, any of these big drug companies, if you take cholesterol medicine, heart medicine, blood thinners, you know, that had to get approved by the FDA that it was clinically relevant and there was a good chance that was going to work to, you know, fix your condition or help with your condition. If the authors of this study tried to pass this study off as proof that, you know, football causes CTE, you know, the FDA or the medical community would kind of laugh at them because it's just not good enough work. I don't want to say it's bad work, but it's just not a predictive study. So,
well, first of all, let me say this, El Guapo. The fact of the matter is that the study was done on 111 brains that were of the brains that were donated. So they're donating the brains for a reason. That like Dave Duerson and Ken Staber, they donated these brains because they had issues and they wanted to see what's going on. They didn't take 111 brains that weren't affected by neurological issues, you know, so that's not fair either.
You're
right?
Absolutely correct.
Right.
I'd love to see Alzheimer's. Let's include Alzheimer's patients. So do they have CTE? Like what, you know, I'm not doubting the existence of CTE, but you know, to what length does it go and to what other, you know, brain injuries or mental conditions does this affect? So, it's interesting. It's not saying that, you know, football maybe can't cause it, but you know, in terms of how probabilistic, you know, is it that CTE is caused by football? This study doesn't tell you anything. At least if it were to be, you know, applied in a medical setting or applied to the medical community. So I just wanted to make sure the audience knew what level of evidence that is.
I want to leave you with this. When I was a kid, Paul Harvey, you remember Paul Harvey, the great radio segment he would have, he came on and... Well, let me back up. When I was a kid, that we had. How old are you, by the way, El Guapo? How old are you?
I am pushing 40.
All right. You might not remember this. When I was a kid, they had the study came out and said cholesterol was bad for you. Eggs were bad for you. Cholesterol's bad, but eggs were bad for you. Like you don't eat eggs. Eggs are high in cholesterol. Don't eat eggs. And I can remember my granddad saying, "What in the hell are these guys talking about? I've been eating 2 eggs every single day of my life, and I'm 60-something years old. I feel great. My grandfather lived to be 110 years old. He ate eggs every single day. This is crazy." And then I'm listening to Paul Harvey 10 years ago or 15 years ago, whatever, and he talked about that same study. We had egg beaters, like the fake eggs and stuff like this. It was crazy, this rage that we went through. But Paul Harvey comes out and says that what people didn't realize is that study was funded by a Post and Kellogg's. That they wanted you to eat cereal rather than eggs. So from that point in time on, I realized that every single study is funded by somebody. And if you want to find something, you'll find it. I'm not saying CTE is not the case, but I want more evidence, more research, more independent research, and not somebody funding a study trying to find out. You can find out whatever you want to find out if you pay enough for it, in other words.
And Mickey, along those lines, there was another study that came out a month or two ago, you know, chocolate's good for you or beer's good for you, or whatever the case was, or bad for you.
Yeah.
And all they looked at was like chocolate consumption or beer consumption of, you know, 1,000 people in, you know, England over 5 years. And they talked about, well, the people who ate the chocolate, you know, they died 2 years earlier than people who didn't, but they didn't study their exercise habits, their family medical history. There's just so many variables that go into it. So that, you know, the old Office Space jump to conclusions, Matt. Let's not jump to too many conclusions quite yet, just based on, you know, very limited, really observational study.
Great point, El Guapo. I appreciate the phone call. He had a plethora of points there. Let me get...
This is an excellent call. Thank you.
Excellent call. At the same time, I do believe there is some sort of correlation. How direct, we don't know.
I think he does too. He's just trying to point out the fact that, you know, the limitations of this research.
Right. And his verbiage was much better than when I said it. He sounded much more elegant than when I said it.
It's like he knows this stuff.
Yeah. His didn't suck. Mine kind of sucked. Let's get Chad in Columbia. Chad, how you doing, man?
Doing well, Mick. Hey, when Sam Blackman was on, he, you know, got me thinking. So I know Bob Bradley's in the Ring of Honor. My question to you, Mick, is, Dabo's elevated the program to such that, you know, it's going to be a challenge now to get in the Ring of Honor. Okay, so thinking like Taj Boyd, I mean, is he the all-time touchdowns leader or either yards leader in ACC history, you know, four-year starter or whatever, or three-year starter? My question, Mickey, is somebody like Taj Boyd in the Ring of Honor? I mean, obviously I think Deshaun is. What about Gaines Adam, all-time sack leader? So my point is, Mickey, in question for you and Zach is, what Clemson players not currently in the Ring of Honor will be in the Ring of Honor, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Chad. I appreciate the phone call. That's tough because it's not like it's a yearly thing. You got to be careful about it, and you got to be very selective about it. And as these players get better and better and better, then the program keeps getting better, then that criteria to get in certainly makes it more difficult. I think this is a fascinating subject. Would it be okay if we discuss it in the next segment?
I would love that.
C.J. Spiller will be. Will Sammy Watkins? Will Nuke Hopkins? Deshaun Watson will be. Will Taj Boyd? Will Ben Bowler? Will Christian Wilkins? Man, that's fascinating to me. I find that extremely fascinating. Hey, let me tell you about the Butcher's Block. John stopped by the other day and told us, man, everywhere he goes, people are stopping by and seeing him now. I want you to go to North Main Street in Greenville and go to the Butcher's Block. This place is awesome. We ate lunch there the other day. Here's what's great about it. Fresh. I'm talking about farm to table meals. I'm talking about the grass fed beef, the free range chicken, wild caught seafood. The freshest ingredients make for the best. The butcher's shop itself get your stuff for grilling at your home right there. They've got the pre-prepared meals that feeds big families for only $24.99. They've got the great meat and three right there for lunchtime. Go by and see these good folks. It's awesome food. North Main Street in Greenville. It's the Butcher's Block. Go by and see these great folks. Hour number three right after.